You want to know how gold is purified? It's ground down, beat down, then it's thrown into a furnace, melted down by a 2,000 degree fire. The heat increases, impurities begin to surface. Things you never saw before, they appear. You scrape away these impurities, and what are you left with? Refined, pure gold. The trials you face as a human being are the furnace, designed to remove the impurities in us so the only thing that remains is what was placed at the core of us, God's nature and character. Some of you are in the furnace right now. All you see is the fire. All you feel is the heat. Each day feels like a struggle and you want to give up. You want to hit the snooze button. You want to give up on that marriage. You want to quit that job. Take the easy way out. But you weren't created for easy. You were created for victory. Allow what was meant to destroy you be the thing that reveals you. That trial is the very thing that is being used to develop your character. The impurities are being removed from your life. Go through the process. Welcome it. When the fires of life are raging, keep going. And always remember, on the other side of pain, on the other side of trial, is your promise.
Let's pray. God, today we are starting this brand new series in the book of Peter, and we pray, Lord, that through it, you would give us resilience in our lives. Amen. There is a saying in the athletic world, no pain, no gain. It's a simple truth. If you don't put in the work, if you don't sweat, if you don't get your heartbeat up, you will not lose weight. Your waist will not shrink. Your muscles will not grow, and there will be no stamina building. But if you ask any athlete, is it worth it? They'll tell you about the mental and the physical gains that they have obtained through putting in all the hard work. They'll tell you that they are now able to enjoy activities with their families that they weren't able to enjoy before. They will even tell you that they used to have a pillbox with little letters on it from Sunday through Saturday that they no longer have to use anymore because they have gotten healthier. No pain, no gain. See the same thing in the financial world. There's another saying, you got to spend money to make money. Most of my sisters work for Mary Kay Cosmetics. If you need any makeup, let me know. They sell products that help with skincare, right? But in order to get into that, they had to spend money. They had to buy their product before they could sell it. And that was a sacrifice. Imagine you have little money, you want to start up your own business, and they're asking you for quite a bit of a commitment. It's scary. But if you ask any of my sisters, was it worth putting up that money up front? Was it worth those late nights calling in those orders? And they will tell you all about these amazing trips they've taken throughout the world. They'll show you their pink Cadillacs parked in their driveways. No pain, no gain. This isn't anything new. And the reality is, this concept has been going on since the fall into sin. And as I was doing my study today, it dawned on me how many of our realities that we deal with go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And the fact of the matter is that Adam and Eve, the first human beings, they disobeyed God. And because of that, we now experience pain. Ladies, many of you know that the greatest joy in your life is to have your child. But in order to get to that point, you have to experience some of the most excruciating pain you have ever endured. No pain, no gain. God has created us to work and to enjoy our work. But even if you like your job, in order to move up in the ranks, in order to gain that money that you want, it's still hard. There's still toil and burdensome work that you have to go through. Without pain, there is no gain. And the thing is, none of us likes pain. We try to get away from it at all costs possible. Collectively, the world tries to avoid it. That's why so many people buy lottery tickets and gamble, because they would much rather get free money than have to work for it. That's why we avoid mental and physical pain And that's why pharmaceutical industry is a $3 trillion a year industry. That's why all across the world, people are spending billions and billions of dollars on alcohol and illicit drugs. We don't like pain. Personally, in order to be healthy and buff, I would love to be able to sit on my couch all day, eat popcorn, and watch American Ninja Warrior. I've tried it. It does not work. Okay? It's not real. It can't happen. It would be wonderful to win the lottery, to be able to quit my job and not to have to deal with the stresses of this life, but that's not going to happen. Without hard work, without toil, without pain, there is no lasting gain. And that's what this brand new series, Refined by Fire, is all about. It's a 5-week journey through the letter that Peter, the Apostle Peter, wrote to his Christian friends, past and now present. And Peter is going to give us some godly advice and perspective to help us see that whatever struggles we may be going through, whatever struggles you may be going through, that whatever pain you're experiencing has a purpose. Please do not miss this. Your pain has a purpose. And Peter will give you an eternal perspective on how to deal with the pain of a toxic work environment, the pain of marital conflict within the home, the pain of suffering doing the right thing, and the pain of swallowing your own pride. Now, we're not going to look at every verse and every chapter of this book, so I'm going to encourage you when you go home, please read through it. And if that intimidates you, I want you to know that 1 Peter is only 4 pages long. It's very doable, okay? I want to encourage you to read through that, meditate on it, and take it in. But for our purposes today, we're going to look at chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. And here's a tip for you. If you ever want to know who wrote a particular book or letter of the Bible, more often than not, they will identify them in the first couple of verses, and they will also identify who they're writing to. So let's look at that together. It says, Peter, he identifies himself. An apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So right off the bat, Peter says, I'm the writer of this letter. And notice here that his audience is very diverse. It's a group that is spread out. They're not all in the same place. They are in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And if you don't know where those places are, here's a map. Here's Italy. We all recognize that. And these provinces are located in what we know today as Turkey. And so he refers to them as exiles, foreigners living in a foreign land. And these are people that are going through various trials and tribulations. And to start off, he begins with some amazing adjectives to describe them. Again, he says, to God's elect. And he explains that in verse 2, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. How cool is that? These people right now, they don't feel chosen. They feel rejected. And yet Peter starts off by reminding them, this is who you are in Christ. God chose you in these very difficult moments. Long before you knew you were going to go through what you're going through, God foreknew that he was going to call you into an obedient faith in Jesus Christ, that he was going to sprinkle you with his blood, wash you, sanctify you, make you holy, call you his own. This is so cool because what I've come to realize over the years is that the universal experience of all Christians is that when you're going through a tough time, you do not feel chosen. In fact, how many times have you felt rejected by God when you're going through that difficulty in your life? It is so hard to feel like God loves you. And the fact of the matter is, he does love you, and he did choose you. And it wasn't like a game of kickball where you're the last person standing and God's like, fine. No, is God chose you specifically. And I want to take this moment right now to let you know, God loves you. He elected you. You are one of his chosen. He foreknew you way before you have gone what you're going through right now, currently or in the past. And Peter finishes that introduction to all those people and to us. He says, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Grace and peace are already yours. But the more we meditate and think on these things, the more we experience God's love, the more it's going to grow inside of our lives. It's going to overflow. And Peter now describes how we got this grace and peace in the first place. Look at verse 3. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us, read that with me, new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in this last time. So here's the eternal perspective that Peter wants us to run back to over and over again when we are facing these difficult trials in our lives. So first and foremost, he says, God our Father has given us a new birth. When you think of birth, you think of beginning. And in our lives, God has given us a restart. And the thing is, God doesn't view us the way that we view ourselves or that other people view us. More often than not, we view ourselves as sinners. We view ourselves not through the eyes of accomplishment, but through the eyes of failure. And has it ever happened to you that you ran into someone that knew you when you were younger? Maybe it was at a reunion, a family reunion, a school reunion. And even though you've changed on the outside, their assumption is that you're still that stupid smart aleck who only got in trouble. Have you ever ran into that person? So you've changed on the outside, but they see you as the same immature individual. That's not how God sees you. God sees you as born again, brand new. His child, renewed, redeemed, changed, sanctified. The word sanctified means that you are being made holy. God knows that you are being matured, not just on the outside, but also on the inside. And because of this new birth that he has gifted to you, isn't it funny when we have birthdays, we celebrate the person who was born that day, but who did all the work? Moms, we should be celebrating you, yes? But yet, he says, you've been given this new birth into a living hope. Now, the difference between a living hope and a regular hope is a regular hope is kind of a maybe hope. It might happen, it might not happen. A living hope is a sure thing. It's going to happen. Living hope is a sure thing. It's going to happen. And what guarantees this hope for you? It's this: the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Remember I told you that your pain has a purpose? Well, so did Jesus' pain. And Peter, throughout his letter, is going to come back to this pain over and over again, the suffering that Jesus endured, the agony of the cross. The agony of the cross had a purpose that leads us to the most important event in all of history, and that is Easter. On Easter Sunday, Jesus Christ rose from the dead, declaring victory over death. And that grave that gave birth to Jesus now gives birth to us. Peter, who wrote this letter, was an eyewitness to this historical event. And so with confidence, he says that you have been born again through Jesus Christ. You have been born out of the grave, and you've been given a new birth and a living hope. And that living hope means you have an inheritance. Do you earn an inheritance? It's given to you that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, most of us humans hope and pray that one day our parents will put us into their will. But God the Father has written you into his will. And this isn't like an earthly will where you might get some cool stuff, but eventually it's going to break down or you'll spend it all and you won't have any left. No, this is an enduring inheritance. And this isn't one you can get written out of. Now, you can say, I don't want this inheritance. But as much as it depends on God the Father, he says, no, I've kept this in heaven for you. It is guarded. It is safe. It is yours. And that inheritance is this. Your pain will one day all be gone. You have an eternal home waiting for you, a mansion that Jesus Christ has prepared himself for you, where there is no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, no more sin. It is eternal life, and it is yours. This is the gift that he has given to you, and this is what the Apostle Peter wants us to focus on as we go through the trials and tribulations of this life, this amazing inheritance. This is what got the Apostle Paul through staying in prison and all those beatings. This is what got Peter, who endured persecution as well, through all of those things, is focusing on the end game, the inheritance that is given to us. And Peter goes on, he says this, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though, read it, refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." There's not a single person who's listening today, whether you're in person or online, who has not endured suffering in some way. You can be a little kid, a teenager, a college student, a full-blown adult, a retiree, and you all have your stories of suffering, whether in the past or in the present. And just like you, I have wondered out loud. Sometimes I'm driving along and I'm frustrated and I start yelling at God. Sometimes I start screaming at him and I say, why is this happening to me? Or why is this happening to the people I love? And Peter gives us the answer. He uses this picture of gold being refined by fire. The beautiful gold jewelry that you wear, you see other people wearing because you can't afford it. That's me. It didn't just appear that way out of the ground. It went through a process. When you find gold in its raw state, it's covered in dirt and rock, and it has to go through this arduous process of getting broken down, of being fired up from more than 1,000, 2,000 degrees. That has to be melted down to burn off all of its impurities. We are in our raw state, dirty, contaminated by all kinds of filthy and perverse sins. And the reason for the pain that we suffer and the trials we endure is to remove all those impurities from our lives, to allow our faith in Jesus to shine through brighter and brighter each time. And what my trials have taught me personally is that I too often try to rely on myself. I rely on my own wisdom and my own knowledge, my know-how to try to make it through to the other side. But as long as I do that, as long as I rely on myself, my faith is hidden. No one can see the beauty of Jesus working through my life when I try to do this on my own. And no one can see the beauty of Jesus working on your life when you try to do this on your own. So the heat gets turned up. The fire gets hotter. So hot that you and I cannot endure it on our own. And it gets us to the point where we finally have to cry out, where we finally have to lift our eyes to heaven and say, Jesus, help me. And he is the one who in that moment gives you the strength to keep on keeping on. It's that in that moment that your life, you're reminded that your life is temporary, that you're not here to spend eternity on this forsaken, sinful earth, but that you have an inheritance waiting for you in heaven where there is no more pain, no more sorrow. And it's then that Jesus is clearly revealed to people around us where they can give glory and praise and honor, not to us, but to him. Your pain has a purpose. Jesus uses these fiery trials to grow you, to cleanse you, to allow you to shine brightly like gold refined in the fire. And Peter says this, though you have not seen him, though you have not seen Jesus, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Peter saw Jesus. He had the benefit of seeing him with his own eyes, and he loved him and he believed in him. And Peter now declares to us who have not seen him, he says, you love him too. You believe in him. And he fills you with this inexpressible and glorious joy because there is purpose behind our pain. There's an end result of our faith in Jesus Christ, and that is the salvation of our souls. The pain we are enduring now, the pain you are enduring now, is preparing you for the gain of eternal life. It's what we constantly need to remember. Because when we forget, and we oftentimes forget, we're filled with anxiety, with worry, and despair. And this is why we need to constantly be reminded and also constantly remind each other. And because God chose us, he did an amazing thing. He put into place mechanisms to remind us again and again and again that what we're enduring now does not compare to the gift that one day we're going to receive. In fact, God gave his prophets of long ago this task of reminding us of this beautiful gift of what we have, this inheritance through Jesus Christ. This is how he concludes. He says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing. When he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. The prophets of long ago knew that the Messiah, their Savior, was going to come into the world and suffer all kinds of sufferings, but they also knew that he would eventually be glorified. And they searched intently throughout the Old Testament scriptures trying to figure out, when is this going to happen? Are we going to participate in this? Are we going to see this with our own eyes? And they diligently went through the scriptures. They painstakingly combed over the passages to get a glimpse of when this might take place. But many of them, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses and David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Daniel, never lived long enough to see this come to fruition. But their hard work was not in vain, because it was revealed to them that they were serving us. You think about this, the Old Testament prophets, they didn't have all the scriptures. They had the Old Testament, and some of them had less than the Old Testament. The New Testament believers, Peter, who Peter was writing to, they still didn't have all the Old Testament. They were still living in those times. They were still receiving these letters from the apostles. They didn't have the fuller picture. But you and I are blessed today to have all 66 books of the Bible compiled into one document, so that in those moments of trial, in those moments of tribulation, we have a place to go to be reminded that our pain has a purpose, that we have been called into a new birth with a living hope, with an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade, that God has given us his enduring word that will last until the end of times, so that in these moments of frustration, in these moments of doubt, we can turn back and find our Savior who loves us, who endured even worse pain that we're going through now. And remember that. Remember that when you're suffering, so often we think that God is aloof and God is mean. But remember this, God sent his one and only Son to suffer for you, to be refined for you, so that we at the end would shine more brightly than any gold, any diamond, any silver. You are being refined. There is purpose in your pain. Let's pray. God, we ask for this eternal perspective that you've reminded us of today. So many of us have gone through pain in the past, and currently we're going through it now. And I pray for those suffering souls, Lord. Please allow them to keep their eyes clearly fixed on you, knowing that there is an end game to all of this, that in the end, Lord, we get to receive that inheritance that you have won for us on the cross and through the empty tomb. It's in your name we pray. Amen.